On a bus in Montgomery in Alabama, a black woman refused to give up her seat and she disobeyed the dominant law and she changed the face of America. But I would like to put you in a time machine and transport you to 1,400 years to another black woman who changed the history of humanity. Her name was Sumayya bint al-Khayyat. She was the first martyr of Islam. She died under torture, non-violently, because she also disobeyed the unjust law of the Quraysh tribe. So you could imagine when I see sometimes graffiti saying that God is a woman and she's black, that we see the divine manifesting in compassionate acts and beautiful acts through women, oppressed women. And these are the stories we tend to forget to retell when a religion ends up becoming dominant and triumphant. And then history is written by those who triumphed. The history of Islam was actually established by those very people who nonviolently and peacefully resisted unjust practices of Quraysh. The first followers of the Prophet Muhammad were slaves, women, children. And the male elites rejected him, and they persecuted and tortured his early followers, the early converts. When Islam slowly took over in Arabia and became slowly the dominant religion, and when Muhammad arrived back in his own hometown nonviolently, peacefully, then the male elites started converting. And it was those very people who actually also committed the first coup d'etat after a few members were elected by the consent of the community. And then we went back to dynasties and monarchies. And history was written by those, not by the first martyrs, who, like the followers of Jesus, died under rocks or spears. And here today, I see Jesus, the image of Jesus hanging on the cross. And when I think of Islam, I think of the black slave Bilal under the rock, being tortured for being Muslim and saying, Ahadun Ahad, one, one, one. He did not harm anyone, but he also refused to obey. That is the third way. Walter Wink, in his little beautiful book titled Jesus and the Third Way, shows that the prophetic way is the third way. It is between flight or fight or flight, submission or aggression. This is what we tend to forget, that the prophetic figures throughout history, what they did was quite profound, very simple, but profound and difficult sometimes to comprehend, because people tend to either submit to injustices or raise the hand, raise the sword, and fight injustices. What the prophets throughout history and all the reformers came with was disobedience, peaceful disobedience, exiting from that one religion that dominated the world. So when Jesus says, turn the other cheek, it means that if you slap me and I slap you back, we belong to the same religion. What the prophets did is that they came up with a new religion, the religion of love and compassion, that I do not return hate with hate, that I stand in the face of hate with love and compassion, because I see your humanity. You are not my enemy. You are my brother. You are my sister. I'm talking about this in the midst of revolutions unfolding in the Arab world. Peaceful protest. And they're being met with gunshots. Yesterday, I learned that my uncle was among protesters in Syria. And I would like to tell you a little bit about his history. I was born in a pacifist family in Damascus. My uncle, in the late 50s, started writing about nonviolence. Because, and at the time he hadn't read about Gandhi, he was a young man at Al-Azhar, the grand seminary of the Muslim world. He wanted to find out for himself what jihad was about, what armed jihad was about. And when he read the Quran very closely in a structural, critical way in the early Muslim history, he found out that the norm in Islam is actually nonviolence. And of course, later when he started coming upon the writings of Gandhi and Martin Luther King and all that, that confirmed what he had discovered for himself. And the reason I use the term nonviolence is because when people generally use the term peace, they mean that I am peaceful as long as you don't hit me. When you hit me, only then I'm allowed self-defense. And some Muslims, unfortunately, who are not closely reading the text, the Quranic text, say Islam is a religion of peace because the word Islam comes from the word peace. So they say Islam is a religion of peace except in cases of self-defense. And I smile when I hear that because actually in many contexts in the Quran, self-defense is not allowed. And this is what some people find difficult. And then I say, how would you then understand these early acts of complete lack of self-defense under torture and injustice? Because people sometimes think only when there is injustice and aggression is violence allowed. But that is exactly what the prophets and reformers stood against. That in the face of injustice and in the face of torture, all the prophets in the Quran say together, وَلَنَصْبِرَنَّ عَلَى مَا آذَيْتُمُونَ, that we will withstand and bear your harm with patience.